Sony might lose money because of a rumored price cut, and Microsoft will lose money due to faulty hardware. It's the week before E3. We'll take your live calls and chat comments on the Bobby Blackwell Show, week of July 7th, 2007. Bobby Blackwell Show, you're on the air.
Calling in to chime in about this, Matt. And
it's your fault, Doc Wolf. It's you guys who buy these dumb Katamari, Catalarm, kind of that game.
Bobby Blackwell back at Dragon Con 2005.
I am here at Anime Weekend Atlanta 11. I'm here at the Best Buy in Alpharetta, Georgia, talking about the Xbox 360 launch.
DC Nate and everybody in chat's all going, we didn't buy into the hype. You did buy into the hype, you just didn't buy the system.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, it's Bobby Blackwell.
Why, hello there, Joysticks Podcast Rodeo. How nice of you to join us. Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, as seen on Joystick, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you are joining us here live on All Games Radio, I want to welcome you. You can go into our chat room, click on chat on our website, or go to chat.allgames.com, and I will be reading comments throughout the night, because I can't do this without 60 co-hosts in chat telling me that I'm wrong. A little bit later on, we're going to open up our phone lines and our Skype line. Our toll-free number in the United States and Canada, I checked it does work tonight, 1-866-880-0156, or you can call us on Skype, Bobby Blackwell Show, all one word. If you're listening to us on the podcast, you can email me, blackwolf@allgames.com, or leave a voicemail on that Skype line while I am out in Santa Monica this week. Just before this show goes live, we usually play a review, but it's their off week. Kropotkin and Hendrick's Game Review is a bi-weekly audio review with one guy in the UK and one guy in the US talking about the same game. But we did run Kropotkin's UK News, which is a weekly look at all the news that's happening over in that part of the world, because you should get cultured. So this week coming up is E3. And as I told you guys last week, I've been to E3 every year since 1997. Me being from Atlanta, I started going to them in 1997 when it was here at the Georgia World Congress Center, when I think it was like when the Los Angeles Convention Center was under renovation and stuff. So they moved it over here, and all the West Coast guys whined and complained about the humidity. And they moved it back out there, and I just kept going. So I am going to be in Santa Monica this week. I tried some last-minute shenanigans and failed. Security is pretty tight there, and so I will not be going to E3. But I am going to be seeing a lot of stuff courtesy of Microsoft while I'm out there. So my E3 wrap-up show will be heavily biased, and I apologize for that. Sony and Nintendo just don't want to talk to me for some reason. I'm too indie, I guess. So I will be seeing a whole bunch of stuff from Microsoft, both from the Xbox 360 side and the Games for Windows side. And I will talk about all that stuff on Sunday on our next show, which will be next week. I'm not going to do any show from Santa Monica, because like I said, I'm not going to E3. I'm just going to stuff that's around E3 and, you know, seeing what'll happen. Thursday and Friday will be really fun because I've got nothing those days scheduled. So we'll be talking about that next week. It's going to be very interesting to see how much of E3 has changed, how much the dynamic has changed, all that stuff. There's actually a couple companies that aren't there. You know, like Tecmo's not going to be there because the ESA wouldn't talk to them and tell them what was going on. And so they're like, oh, we're just going to spend our own money on our stuff. And I think somebody said Sega wasn't there. But I don't remember that. I think Sega is there, but I forgot to check on that. Oops. But I know, like, Tecmo isn't going to be there. And it's just because they don't see the point of E3 anymore. Probably because their whole E3 was chicks in bikinis, bathing suits, dancing to Dead or Alive vids. And no, Hyperion says that I'm a Microsoft shill. No, because if they show me a whole lot of first-person shooters, I'm not going to be happy. And WhatUpG does say that Tecmo had their event in Japan a few weeks back. Yeah, a lot of them are holding their own, like, Gamers Day and stuff like that. They'll probably do one in the U.S. for the U.S. journalists when they have something to show. And WhatUpG does say, this year G4 is showing the press conferences live so I can tape it and watch it when I want to. And that is another thing that's going to be kind of nice for, you know, for everybody out there, because it was so hard to, because, I mean, I never went to any of the press conferences. This is actually going to be my first E3 press conference. I'm going to the Microsoft one on Tuesday night. But I've always had to watch them on the internet, usually before I flew out. You know, like, I'd always fly out on Tuesday, and, like, the press conferences would be, like, Monday night and Tuesday morning. Or, you know, that's what they used to be, and then sometimes they were, like, Tuesday night and Wednesday morning or something like that. You know, I remember doing that type of stuff, trying to do it on the internet, and it was buffering, and it was horrible. And this time, you know, you guys got G4, which, you know, you can have your own opinions of G4 if you want. They've done a lot of things wrong. A lot of things wrong. But it looks like they're going to try to show them live. Now, I wonder if it's going to be the full thing live, or if it's going to be cut up into segments, or live to tape, or what. I don't know what's going on there. And for the times on that, I think it's like Tuesday night at 8:30 p.m. Pacific is the Microsoft conference, and then Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. is one is either Sony or Nintendo, and then 11:30 is the other one. So one of them is Nintendo, one of them is Sony, but it's 9 a.m. on Wednesday and 11:30 a.m. on Wednesday for the big three press conferences. If you want to go try to check those out. And the funny thing is I'm actually going to be watching the Sony and Nintendo press conferences with the guys from Gamerscore blog over at Microsoft. So that's going to be kind of interesting. Tiger Claw says, this year's E3 is going to be interesting, not because it's a smaller E3, but because none of the companies are showing any new hardware, so it's going to be nothing but games. And, you know, those were actually some of the neat, you know, cooler E3s where, you know, it was all the hardware was out, the speculation was done about what the hardware can do, and let's just see the software. Because, you know, it's only really once every 5 years that you get the whole hardware race. Pretty much. I mean, you know, there's been a couple of E3s where there haven't been any new hardware, but usually, like, somebody's showing, you know, like Nintendo would show, you know, their next version of the Game Boy Advance or the next version of the DS. And, you know, maybe we'll see a PSP2 or an X-Boy. Probably not. And Bloodshot says that the PS3 Rumble controller is new hardware. Yes, somebody was saying that they posted a blog thing, I think it was from IGN or something, of this new PS3 controller that has the Rumble in it. And it's going to have, like, that touch-sensitive rumble or something like that. I didn't look into it much. Hopefully they'll show it. Maybe they'll show something. It's not like I'm going to be able to see it, but I'll read about it like everybody else. But speaking of the PlayStation 3 and rumors of what's going to happen this week, Game Daily reports that, you know, although Sony has yet to confirm a price drop officially, Game Daily Biz has received confirmation from the retail sector that the PlayStation 3 will be dropped to $499 next week. That's a $100 price drop. Sony itself recently talked about refining the PS3 price. Now it appears to be happening. A PS3 price cut rumor spread like wildfire across the internet this afternoon when several sites spotted a new advertisement from Circuit City. The ad is seen on Kotaku, lists the PS3 console at $499. It was not clear at first if this ad was a special deal specific to the electronics retailer or if it's indeed a retail-wide price cut instituted by Sony Computer Entertainment America. As it turns out, a merchandising manager who wished to remain anonymous, I wonder why, at one of the world's biggest retailers has confirmed to Game Daily Biz that the price drop is indeed retail-wide and it's scheduled to take place on July 12th, a day after Sony's press conference at E3. Although the first wave of ads to promote the PS3's new price won't kick in until Sunday, July 15th. Many analysts have speculated that Sony would drop the price on the expensive console this year, and some even predicted it would happen this summer. It's starting to look like they were right. We will find out more on E3. Sony Computer Entertainment America obviously declined to comment, but according to Reuters, Sony President Ryuichi Tsubashi, where's Ken Kutaragi? He's got an easier name to pronounce. He said, quote, "At present, we have no plans." Unquote. Well, thanks to the power of podcasting and the fact that I edit the show after we do the live show, while I was editing, this all changed. It no longer became rumor, it actually became fact. GameSpot reports that today Sony confirmed to GameSpot that all those retailer reports were correct. As of July 9th, the PlayStation 3's North American price point is going south. The next generation console will cost $499 in the US and $549 in Canada, the same price as the discontinued 20-gigabyte model. So far, the price drop is for North America only. It does not affect any other territory. The price drop announcement was accompanied by some more unexpected news. The 80-gigabyte PlayStation 3, previously only available in South Korea, is also headed stateside. The larger capacity system will go on sale in August for $599 and will have the functionality of the 60-gigabyte model. To help stifle complaints that $100 might be a bit too much to pay for 20 gigabytes more of hard disk space, Sony is releasing a limited edition bundle which packages the console with the off-road racer MotorStorm, which currently retails for $60. So it is now fact, it's no longer rumor, and we're going to take you back to the live show and all the chat comments and chat reactions about this. So finally, for the people who bought PS3s in the last couple weeks, like UGK128, if you had just held off, you would have gotten it for $100 cheaper. And this is something they really needed to do. I mean, granted, it's still $500. Don't let the 4 in there fool you. But is $500 for the 60 gig. I think they've been phasing out the 20 gig systems and stuff. So they're getting closer to what a lot of people will be willing to pay. I mean, not many people even liked paying $400 for an Xbox 360, especially with what's going to happen, what we're going to talk about in our next story. But this is what they kind of needed to do, and they're probably going to lose even more money because they were losing money at, you know, $599 for each system. So now that they're moving it down, hopefully people will now, who were on the fence, will probably buy it now, and then we'll all start talking about when the next price cut is. And Sub-Z does make a good point. Keep the receipt. You may be able to get the $100 off still, especially if you've bought it recently. If they do this price cut and you maybe bought it in the past month, go back to them and see what, you know, if they'll do anything for you. That is a good point. I don't think it's going to work for people who bought them on launch day like I did, but try it if you've bought it recently. Sully907 says, the production costs are coming down too, though I doubt the thing costs $800 to make. And I do know that they, you know, proclaimed very loudly that blue laser diodes are now easier to make. There's more of them, which was apparently the holdup in the beginning of production units. But now those blue laser diodes, the magic thing that makes Blu-ray work, apparently they are easy to make. And Big Beaky even says, if the PS3 drops to $400, I'll get one, which is $399, not $499. So, somebody else, I think it was AA Me, says that he believes that the next price cut will be in December. So the next thing that's going to cost, that could probably cost Sony some money. Well, here's something that will actually cost somebody money, and that would be Microsoft. Xbox.com released an open letter to the Xbox community by Peter Moore. And he says, here's a part of it, he says, quote, we've spoken and we've heard, or you've spoken and we've heard you. They've spoken a lot too, but you've spoken and we've heard you. Good service and a good customer experience are areas of the business that we care deeply about, and frankly, we've not been doing a good job. Some of you have expressed frustration with the customer experiences you've had with Xbox 360, frustration with having to return your console for service after receiving the general hardware error message on the console. And so basically he talks about, you know, other stuff, you know, haha, you know, look at us. We're very good people. We want you to have a worry-free experience. As of today, all Xbox 360 consoles are covered by an enhanced warranty program to address specifically the general hardware failures indicated by the three flashing red lights on the console. This applies to new and previously sold consoles. While we still have a general one-year console warranty, 2 years in some countries, we're announcing today a three-year warranty that covers any console that displays the three flashing red lights error message. If a customer has an issue indicated by the three flashing red lights, Microsoft will repair the console free of charge, including shipping, for 3 years from the console's purchase date. We will also retroactively reimburse any of you who paid for repairs related to problems indicated by this error message in the past. In doing so, Microsoft stands by its products and takes responsibility to ensure that every Xbox 360 console owner continues to have a fantastic gaming experience. Unquote. And here's the thing. The Xbox 360 right now, I believe, is, in terms of games, one of the best systems on the market right now. I believe it's the best system on the market right now of this current generation, in terms of games. However, now people are saying, you know, with a 33% failure rate, that's, it's not great hardware-wise. And you know what? Sony got slapped with a class action lawsuit and had to settle. Granted, people involved in that settlement only got like $2 or something like that, but Sony got slapped with it for all their disc read errors, and it was not 33% in terms of Sony's and the PlayStation 2. It was still an epidemic, but not of this scale. So Microsoft is basically doing what they have to do to avoid that situation, the class action lawsuit. Now, if your console is doing other things, you're not covered under this warranty. Like, I can't get a free repair on my console because it's eating discs. Because it's not a red rings. Now, I could probably fake the red rings, but it's still, you know, I'd still have to send it back and try to convince them and all that stuff. You know, because mine, if whenever the disc tray, like, powers down, like it stops spinning, it'll grind against, like, one of the edges or something like that. It's not tight. Like, the disc tray isn't tight. You can even wobble it while it's out. But that's not covered under this. You know, the red rings is unfortunately not the only problem that the Xbox 360 has. It's just the only one that they're willing to fix because it's the most prevalent one. I've had one Xbox that had the red rings of death, and then I had another one that had a video issue which only came out in Gears of War because Gears of War taxed the system so much, where after about 5 minutes of play, these red lines appeared on the screen and stayed there even if I would go back to the dashboard or if I would do anything else. That wouldn't be covered under this warranty. It was a faulty GPU, is basically what they told me. And it got, when it got overtaxed by Gears of War, then it just, it decided it didn't want to live and threw up red lines. I've actually took pictures of it and put it up. But like even when I went back to the dashboard, these red lines would be there. And it showed up in other games, but it would take like 30 to 45 minutes in those other games, whereas, you know, I wouldn't even be finished with the tutorial in Gears of War before these lines popped up. I would have loved to have seen them do an extended warranty on all of the issues, because the red rings, unfortunately, is not the only issue. But this is what they had to do to avoid the class action lawsuit. And what UpG even says, you know, I wonder what the final straw for Microsoft to take this action at this time. Customer loyalty, my ass. And pretty much I think it was some lawyer was going to slap them a big, huge class action lawsuit. And they're doing everything they can to avoid that class action lawsuit. Hyperion says, to be honest, I'm happy they're doing this now. 3 years warranty is unheard of in the console market. Well, consoles that have a 33% failure rate is also pretty unheard of in the console market, or more. We don't know what the exact number is. That's just what people are estimating. And James Patrick says, the Atari 5200, I believe, is the biggest POS in console, actually. And Big Beaky says, I'm not getting an Xbox 360 until they fix the hardware problems. They need to fix a lot more than the three red rings. I don't need a 3 year warranty. I need a working system. Serotonin Zero says, no matter the reason, though, at least they are standing behind it. And, you know, and there was another, and actually there's another story here from the Financial Times that talks about this. They report that Microsoft on Thursday revealed that it would take a charge against profits of more than $1 billion as it tried to limit the potential damage to its video game business from a technical flaw in the Xbox 360. The estimated pre-tax charge of between $1.05 billion and $1.15 billion would cover extended warranties for 11.6 million machines that have already been sold, as well as nearly 2 million more that have not yet been sold. In spite of sporadic reports of hardware failure in the recent months, the problems with the Xbox 360 have not emerged publicly as a broader issue. The flaw leads to hardware failure in the machines, producing 3 flashing red lights on the console. Robbie Bach, who is the president of Microsoft's Entertainment and Devices Division, refused to reveal how many customers have experienced the technical problems, but characterized the new warranty program as a preemptive attempt to deal with the issue and prevent any wider reputational damage. So they're basically... It was funny because a couple of weeks ago, we actually ran this story about Microsoft saying, hey, we're going to finally turn a profit this year in our games division. Halo 3 is going to save us. Now they're going to lose $1 billion. And there's actually a way, I think it was Game Politics even, that did this this math or something to kind of say, okay, if they're estimating they're going to lose $1 billion and an Xbox 360 is $400 and, you know, there's 11.6 million Xbox 360s out there or something like that, and that's how they came up with, like, you know, this 33 or 35% number of 360s that have died because of this. And, you know, they're going to take a beating on this, and for a lot of people, their reputation's already been damaged with this, because Microsoft, they're a software company. And, you know, there were even other articles that I didn't put in my little show note thing, but there's a couple other articles that even said it was Microsoft's bad hardware design and their rush to get the console out well before Sony and Nintendo that caused these problems. There was like a lack of, you know, error checking when they designed the hardware and stuff like that. So Microsoft, obviously, there's a reason they've been in the software business. And a lot of people say they haven't done all that much well in the software business, but they're usually Linux zealots, fanboys. Now, Serotonin Zero says, just buy it at Best Buy and get the warranty on it from them. 2 years later, you can come up with some bullcrap reason why it doesn't work and get your full price back on it. Maybe the next Xbox will be out by then, and you can put it toward that. And the only reason I really haven't done that in terms of, you know, trying to trade mine back to get a working system from a retail outlet is because of their DRM and because of the Xbox Live Arcade stuff, which I talked about last week, where, you know, you basically... it's tied to your console. And if you want to play your Xbox Live Arcade games or any, you know, extra content to a game, add-ons to a game that you download from the marketplace, you've got to have that original content if your internet's down or Xbox Live is down or for some reason you can't get on Xbox Live or it's not your profile. So that's kind of, it's the DRM that's holding a lot of people back from doing that. When PS2s broke, people just went out and bought another PS2, put their memory card in there, and all, and you know, everything was hunky-dory. It was all the same settings. You know, when my Super Nintendo finally decided it wasn't going to output color anymore after a couple of years, I just went in and exchanged it for another Super Nintendo, and it works fine. But with the DRM now on all three of the consoles, it's very hard to do that and keep all of your content. Hyperion says that I'm wrong, and this is why we have a live chat room, because if I'm wrong, people can usually tell me about 30 seconds later. He says they're not losing anything in terms of the $1 billion. They filed that $1 billion loss under last year's, which ended under June 30th. So they may still turn a profit this year, this fiscal year, because I guess their fiscal year begins in July. So I am wrong. Hyperion has corrected me, and that's why I have 70 co-hosts in a chat room. Now, Mako actually takes a different point than I did about Microsoft's hardware. He says, admittedly, when Microsoft does hardware, it's usually damn good. Example, the mice, even with the bald ones, were better. And they weirdly could make the perfect mouse ball. Their optical mice are fantastic, too. So I guess they can make small. I mean, I don't know. Didn't they farm that out to, like, Logitech, or am I thinking something different? Probably not. Yeah, and, you know, my Xbox Live and, you know, my Xbox Live Arcade thing, that's why, you know, Dave1971-1998 says in chat, that's why I don't bother with online stuff for the 360, and I wouldn't either if it just wasn't if I didn't enjoy the game so much. You know, I've been playing Pac-Man CE, even though I've bitched about the price on it. I've been playing that recently, and I love that, and, you know, those aren't available on a disc. I mean, they did do that Xbox Live Arcade Unplugged disc, which would give you demos of Xbox Live Arcade games and, like, one full game. I can't remember which full game it was. Now, I've always liked having, like, a physical copy of something. Okay, so one other story that I wanted to talk about, which really isn't a story because there's no links to it because they've all been pulled. And for people who've listened to this show for a while know, I am a big fan of rhythm action games. And so, you know, one of my favorite games for the longest time was Beatmania 2DX. It was this Konami game, where basically they did release it here finally called Beatmania. It was for the PlayStation 2, where you have, you know, and I call them 7 piano keys and a turntable, even though I know they're not piano keys. They're just laid out like it, so that's what I call it. And, you know, I'm big into that type of stuff. So I really liked Guitar Hero when it came out because I caught on to it before everybody else did. And then it became a sensation. I'm like, awesome, you know, rhythm games are finally getting up there. And so Rock Band was finally announced now that Harmonix is no longer doing Guitar Hero. And a video came out this week and was quickly pulled because it wasn't supposed to be shown, I guess. And it was kind of funny. It was posted on GameSpot, and then it was pulled, and then it was posted on YouTube. And I just looked for it, like, before I went on the air, and it was pulled. Viacom International, I guess MTV, pulled it because it violated their copyrights. But it showed basically people playing Welcome to the Jungle on Rock Band with all of the instruments. And I've actually been getting into it with a couple people on our forums about this because I remember this interview right when Rock Band was announced, like the day that Rock Band was announced, which happened to be the day before Guitar Hero 2 was released for the Xbox 360. Harmonix CEO Alex Rigopoulos actually said in this GameSpot interview, the question was, can you go into detail about the drum peripheral? And this is what he said. He said, quote, I guess I can just say that it is a really impressive piece of hardware. I'm a drummer myself, so we weren't going to settle for anything less than something that felt like a real instrument, unquote. Now, I'm going to preface this this little rant with, I do know that they have always stated that it was a prototype. And I do know that they have stated that that video wasn't supposed to go out. It was more just to get people amped up for Rock Band and what it was supposed to do. Even though the video had multiple camera angles, I don't think anybody snuck in a video camera into that, because they would have known. It had multiple angles, and it would look professionally made. Anyway, the drum peripheral. I am a drummer. I've been playing percussion, mostly like symphonic and orchestral, and sometimes some marching percussion for about 16, 17 years now. That drum peripheral is nowhere near authentic, at least from what I've seen. It's got four drums in a semicircle in front of you, and then a foot pedal. And the drums are all the same size, and they're in this semicircle pattern. And the note charts were laid out in such a way where it was, you know, easy for a gamer to play, but it wasn't really learning to, you know, it wasn't playing a drum set. It was just, it was basically Taiko no Tetsujin, or Taiko Drum Master, with two extra drums and a foot pedal. And that's what I saw out of these prototype videos. And I really, really hope that's not what they're going to do. I mean, at least position the drums in a way that it kind of feels like a drum set. Change the note charts to where your arms are at least in kind of the right place. Because at least when you're playing guitar, the guitar controller, your arms are in the right place, and you actually do kind of have to have the right hand position of your left hand or your right hand if you're using lefty flip. You actually have to be in the right position. The drum peripheral, I was watching the video and watching them play it, and, you know, their arms weren't even in the right position for playing it, which is great for from a gameplay standpoint, I guess. But when the CEO of the company says, I'm a drummer, I want it to be authentic, and they show me that, I get really worried. Tiger Claw says that the Rock Band's back on YouTube, but I bet it's going to be pulled by Viacom very soon here. So, yeah. So, I mean, I kind of wish... That's what one of the things I wish for is that I could have gotten into E3 so I could have seen it, seen this new, whatever new prototype they've got. I'm sure I'll see it on the internet. But I would have loved to have gotten behind it and played it and asked them why it's not authentic. Which everybody else, apparently, like, you can read, like, this glowing preview of it from IGN. And they're like, oh, the drum peripheral's so awesome. And then he says, well, I've never really played drums. I play guitar. But the drum peripheral is really awesome. And it really makes you feel like you're rocking out on drums. And what I saw didn't look like they were rocking out on drums. They were beating foam pads. So, please, Harmonix, give an authentic feel to it. At least position them differently or something. I mean, I rag on Konami for the Drum Mania peripheral. But the Drum Mania peripheral at least had everything positioned correctly. Even though it sucked, everything was at least positioned correctly. And, you know, I'm not asking for, like, you know, specific, you know, cymbal type things. I mean, I've got an electronic drum set here that cost me about $6,000. It's the big high-end Roland. I'm not expecting that at all. You know, I don't even mind the pads that I saw on the prototype. Just position them differently and maybe give one more pad or something, you know. I think it should have five pads, but that's just because I'm in with Drum Mania. So anyway, we're going to take a quick break, quick musical break here, and then I'm going to open it up for your calls. I'm done talking about news stories. I'm going to open it up for calls and Q&A from the chat room. Unfortunately, the music will not be played on the podcast because we're broke. You're listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show on All Games Radio, online at allgames.com.
You're listening to the Bobby Blackwolf Show.
I'm challenging you.
To what game?
Dance Dance Revolution.
That's great, Bobby, but we don't have Dance Dance Revolution, so you're dumb.
On allgames.com.
Thank you very much, KDog96, for the bumper. If you want to leave a bumper, doesn't have to sound as good as that, leave me a voicemail on Skype, Bobby Blackwolf Show, and I will put some music behind it. Say whatever you want about coming back to the show and all this stuff. So I'm opening up our phone line so you guys can talk. Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype. 1-866-880-0156. Toll free in the United States and Canada. If you want to call in and chime in about any of this, chime in about E3, which starts sometime this week, and chime in about anything. How many 360s have you broken? Stuff like that. Now, Serotonin Zero brought up something that was... something that I've kind of followed every once in a while. One of the biggest franchises that have, you know, like, kind of one of the biggest cult followings is the Mother franchise, which was known here as Earthbound. It was called Earthbound on the Super Nintendo, which was really Mother 2. And in fact, if you listen very closely, you can hear the theme from Earthbound in the intro to this show. You have to listen closely for it, though. And he says that the two translation teams for Mother 3 from Starman.net and Mother3.org just joined together to make one single translation. Mother 3 came out, what was it on, the Game Boy Advance in Japan only? And there's, like, petitions everywhere, and even, like, Nintendo's acknowledged the massive petition to get it released here, and they just haven't done it yet. So that's kind of cool news if you're into, you know, trying to get a good translation of Mother 3, the Game Boy Advance version, because Nintendo's probably never going to release it over here. Although that would be kind of neat if they did actually announce that they were releasing it, because the game's already done, and it's got a fan base here. I don't know how big of a fan base it is, unfortunately, but they've got a rabid fan base. AA Me asks, can you have something about All Pro Football next week? If I see it, sure. But I probably won't be able to play All Pro Football until you will. It's on my Gamefly queue. It all depends. See, I think I'm only seeing first-party stuff from Microsoft. I'm not seeing any third-party stuff while I'm out there. So the chance of me playing All-Pro Football is pretty slim. Sorry about that. But I am a fan of, like All-Pro Football. I really do want to check out. I'm not a big, huge sports gamer, but I do like, the 2K football series. I'm a big fan of NCAA football. And, wanted to go ahead and give a shout-out to Fairdale Kings, who is somebody I actually had on my show last year at this time. He does rosters. He does the named rosters for NCAA, the NCAA games. Basically, you download the rosters and it names all the players, because in NCAA you're not allowed to buy the rights to players and stuff, so they have to put their numbers, like, it's QB number 9 instead of whatever his name is. Same stats and everything. So he goes through and names the rosters and you can pick them up. And I use Fairdale Kings for that, and I promised I would give him a shout-out, since I probably wouldn't be able to have him on the show because of the whole E3 stuff. And about the Earthbound stuff is Serotonin Zero says they said about Earthbound, if Nintendo announced that they'd cancel work on the translation, and Nintendo hasn't really announced it. I do remember seeing something from Nintendo where they actually did say that Mother 3 was the most requested game they've gotten. Now, Big Biggie asks a good question. Bobby, do you think that there will be any new hardcore Nintendo games from Nintendo at E3, or do you think they will stay with the family-type games like Wii Sports? And sadly, I'm actually thinking they're going to stay with the minigame collection, the family-type games, because that's really their bread and butter. I mean, Project Hammer was delayed indefinitely, which was kind of their new, quote-unquote, hardcore title. They're still working on Metroid Prime 3, but there's going to be no online play, which does not please the hardcore crowd at all. And they just had a lot of success with, like, Mario Party, which everybody panned Mario Party 8, because it's just like all the previous Mario Parties, but it's, like, one of the top sellers. So I don't think that they're going to announce any new real hardcore game, because, Zelda's the only real hardcore game, if you can call it that, that they've released on the Wii. And it's done well, but, people don't want to play, Red Steel didn't do too well, I guess, because it was crap. And a lot of the other, kind of more serious games on the Wii didn't sell too well. They know that they know their audience, and it's not us. Hitstun still waits for them to bring over Sin and Punishment. Nintendo EAD even worked on it, and it's hardcore enough. MacMan even says Mario Party 8 was the fastest selling in the series, and I remember seeing all the reviews about how it was crap, and it's sold really well. And so, the people who write the reviews are the hardcore gamers, pretty much. Mike too, who's already over there at E3. I don't know why he's not trying to break into the Barker hangar, but he says, bet your money on Wii Sports 2. Or We Play 2, or something like that. Now, AA Me asks, can you talk about the England Cathedral going after Sony because they showed us violent gaming resistance? I actually already talked about that a little bit. And I talked about it a couple weeks ago, but a little bit more came out. Sony then, I think, issued another apology today and actually said, no, we did not get all of the necessary agreements for this. We greatly apologize. But they didn't address any of the demands that the Church of England over the Manchester Cathedral, they never addressed any of those demands. I don't know what's going on. Maybe they've, handed them a whole bunch of money. I really still think the Church of England was going after money on that thing. But Sony released another apology and said, we will not put any more cathedrals in our science fiction games. And, like, I think even, like, the Church of England actually had, like, this digital edict about how you can use religious places in video games and stuff. It was kind of weird. I don't have it in front of me, which is why I'm not trying to talk about it off top of my head. Sully907 says, Sony shouldn't be apologizing. That's like admitting that they did something wrong. And I think, knowing now that they did not get the necessary permission to use the Manchester Cathedral, I think they did do something wrong in that, and I think they did need to apologize for that. And I think that's really all they apologized for, is that they didn't get the appropriate permission. Serotonin Zero says, can they still make up imaginary cathedrals, or is that an issue too? And I think it was just the real world cathedrals and real world mosques and synagogues and all that stuff. I think that's all they had a beef with, was using a real world location, especially one in their words, they basically said Manchester has a lot of gun crime, and there's a lot of gun crime. Since there's a lot of gun crime in the area, you shouldn't be glorifying it in a video game, even if it is an alternate history science fiction video game that takes place in 1950. You shouldn't glorify the gun combat, even if you're only fighting aliens that are trying to kill us all. Dave, 1971-1998, says all the churches look the same in the UK. That's why they sued. Sully 907 asks, you know, why is the church offended? Do they not want to defend their church from aliens? They didn't get that part. They just got the part of you're running around with a gun shooting things. Serotonin Zero says, so we're going to have more fun with New York and Grand Theft Auto 4 when it comes out, too, then. And actually, New York's already kind of the New York Daily News, whichever one's like the tabloid newspaper from that area, already went around to like the politicians and the mayor of New York asking them their thoughts on Grand Theft Auto 4 being set in a city that looks amazingly just like New York. And they're like, we don't approve of it, blah, 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 blah. They've already gone through all that stuff. We do have a call coming in, so I'm going to go ahead and grab this and shut off everything else. So, Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hi, it's Mako.
Hey, man, what's on your mind?
Right, you know this E3 thing?
Right.
Apparently people go to this expo and games get shown and all that. We had that over here in the UK.
Okay, what is it called over there?
It was originally called ECTS, or ECTS, right, depending on how you want to pronounce it.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of years ago, it was perfectly fine. It was like E3, but smaller and more civilized and more stiff upper lips and less women wearing very little.
Right.
And then someone decided to do some changes to make it a little bit more businesslike. And then it went a hell of a lot more businesslike, to the point where not many people actually bothered to turn up anymore.
Do you see this happening with what we're doing over here with E3?
Well, I would say that. However, there's another thing now. Someone decided, right, E3 is there for the public. Well, the public aren't going there. Let's allow the public to have their own show. GameStars Live. Let's do that. And they did that, and it was a flop because so many, what's the best way of saying this, miscreants of the public turned up and generally abused the entire industry. For example, you know, the booth babes, there's etiquette and all those. I think there were a couple of charges of assault made.
Wow.
When they tried doing that, you know, heavy petting, that sort of thing. And the press were just treated like dirt throughout the entire show, because all the publishers decided to show it there instead of at ECTS. So the show basically just died because of GameStars Live. The next year, they didn't bother to do GameStars Live, so we don't really have any games industry shows over here anymore. Now, I'm not too sure, but isn't there this E for All thing over there?
Yeah, E for All, which is more like a... I look at it more like a swap meet kind of thing. Not really, but basically you're supposed to be able to try the game, and then if you like it, you can buy it right there on the show floor. So the way that I'm understanding E for All is that they're not going to show that much upcoming stuff, and it is open to the public for a $100 fee. They're not going to show any upcoming stuff. It's all going to be stuff that's really recently new out. You can try it and then buy it. That's my impression of what E4All is.
Yeah, then you've got these other shows like the GDC and PAX with Penny Arcade Expo. And they're doing, well, especially the PAX side, they're doing a lot more public side.
Right.
Well, E3-related stuff.
Well, PAX is a festival. That they always say that it's not a con, it's not an expo, it's a festival. It's a festival to celebrate gaming, and that's the way PAX is doing it. GDC is kind of like the, you know, toned down version of E3. It's really a lot of game developers, a lot of the smart nerd types are at GDC that would never go to E3. And I actually really like GDC a lot more than E3. I've been to 2 GDCs and like 10 E3s, and I have more fun at GDC. Because, you know, there is less. There's not as many booth babes. I think I saw, like, one.
You know, saw one?
Yeah, I saw one booth babe that was in skimpy clothing. I did see Darth Vader as a booth babe, though. But he wasn't wearing skimpy clothing. But, you know, so it's kind of more toned down. The big guys really didn't do much there. Like, Sony and Nintendo had a booth there showing off some stuff. But really, it was a lot of middleware and stuff, you know, for game developers to use to create their games. And that was kind of cool, and it was the sharing of knowledge through all the panels and everything. I like that, but that's, you know, not E3, and I don't think anything's going to replace E3 just because nobody in the game industry wants to go back to E3.
Well, Yeah, but at the same time, with these other shows taking E3's thunder and E3 becoming, for want of a better term, a shadow of its former self, and it's not really as much of a paragon for gaming kind to look to, it seems like it's on its way out, strangely.
Well, see, here's the thing. They didn't want... let me put it this way. The ESA that put on E3 would have loved to have kept E3 the way it was. It was Sony and EA that pulled out. And then Microsoft and Nintendo pulled out and said, we're not going to do E3 in its current situation. It was because of the reasons you just stated. It was the mecca for the average gamer. Any gamer that knew anything about the industry dreamed of being at E3.
And so I did.
Yeah. Everybody did, pretty much. And... you know, because of that, the people figured out how to get in. But whether paying exorbitant amount of fees or making, you know, a news website and getting in that way. And what basically the EA and Sony said is, you know, we're spending millions of dollars and it's getting crowded by fanboys. You know, we can't talk to the press. We can't make our deals because we have to fight through, you know, 50,000 fanboys that have gotten into E3 because this is the world's largest arcade on free play. And that's the way that, you know, a lot of people that were at E3 viewed it. And so they pulled out, and the ESA is like, but wait, we made so much money on E3. We don't want to do this. But now they've had to tone it down, and they basically had to turn it into something that gamers didn't want to go to in order for E3 to survive. Because if they had tried to put on E3 this year the way that they did last year, you know, if they tried to put on E3 of old, people wouldn't go because... EA wouldn't be there, Sony wouldn't be there, and Microsoft and Nintendo, I believe, wouldn't be there either. And so you would have lost your four most biggest exhibitors, and E3 would have, you know, collapsed financially. At least they're trying to do something to save it financially by doing what they're doing.
Yeah, it's just a shame that the shows managed to go down to this. What am I going to put all my saved up change to now?
PAX.
That's an idea.
Yeah. Thanks for your call, man.
No problem.
So, Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156 if you want to call in and talk about any of this stuff. A lot of companies now are actually doing these, Gamer Days. Gamers Day, and, you know, they'll invite people out. But a lot of it is invite-only. Like, there really isn't going to be much that, you know, a public can go to unless you're going to Penny Arcade Expo or America's Video Game Expo happening in Philadelphia, which is not quite as big as PAX, and it's not as well established. PAX is really, you know, kind of like the destination. You know, kind of like how comic book fans, they want to go to Comic-Con. That's kind of their biggest festival of, you know, their fandom. PAX, really, I think that's going to become the place where all the gamers want to go to. And they've got a really big exhibitor list. They got a bigger exhibitor list at PAX than E3 does. What Up G says, I do think if you had the old E3 this year, you'd be able to play Smash and Metal Gear Solid 4. And I guess, you know, if everybody still was in there, yeah. I mean, and E3 was supposed to be in May. Like, I think it was like May 11th through 13th or something like that. I think that was it. Because when you left the Los Angeles Convention Center, they had a big banner that had the dates for the E3 of the next year. And so it would have been back in May is when we would have had all that. And kind of that's why we saw all these announcements come out in May. So we do have another call on the line, so I'm going to go ahead and grab this. So, Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
James Patrick.
Hey, man, what's on your mind?
I was just thinking about what you were talking about earlier with Nintendo's showings at E3. Did you mean that you didn't think there would be any hardcore games, or did you mean you didn't think there'd be any new franchises?
The question specifically was, would we see any new franchises or new games that we haven't heard of?
Well, we do know last year Retro said they were making on a game already that wasn't Metroid. And I don't think they're the kind of company that would make a casual game.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was like last year. Last year we also saw Project Hammer. But I think what's happened, and the reason
on Project Hammer, their Monolith Soft, they made Xeno Saga, so I don't think they'd make a casual game either.
Right, but I mean, what I'm saying is I think Nintendo's kind of going to switch their focus away from going towards the casual games, because that's what makes them the money.
If they did that, then why haven't we seen them expand on a game like Nintendogs? Why didn't they make a sequel or a game like that with a different animal?
How do you know they're not?
It's been so long, we would have heard something.
It takes them. They spend a long time on those games. I mean, Super Mario Galaxy has been in development both like on the GameCube and then now on the Wii for how long? You know, how long did they work on Twilight Princess versus a GameCube game now as a Wii game? They do spend quite some time developing these games. And Nintendo, unlike, say, Peter Molyneux, Nintendo knows how to keep its mouth shut. So, you know, that's probably why you haven't heard anything about it. I do think that they've been working on another Nintendogs game for 3 years. But since they're very good at keeping their mouth shut, that's why we don't know about it.
Yeah, well, for the same token, the new Super Mario Brothers has sold over 10 million copies. So we're probably going to see a sequel to that. Hopefully we'll see a sequel to that, and that's a hardcore game.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think what people, when I hear hardcore game, especially coming from this crowd, I'm thinking, you know, people are talking about like the first-person shooters, you know, like the ones that, you know, basically aren't a whole bunch of minigame or old side-scrollers, you know, which, I mean, I love New Super Mario Brothers, and I, you know, if they did come out with a second one, I think that'd be great. But, you know, I don't think that's going to be their focus anymore.
Well, Nintendo has always been a company that's done things no one expects.
Right.
That's been their forte. They've never done anything but the unexpected at any given year. So,
yep.
And with Iwata as the president, who's an actual game developer, not Yakaguchi or whatever his name was.
Yamauchi, yeah.
Yeah. He wasn't even a gamer. In fact, I remember them saying at E3 that he prided himself on never playing a video game ever. So,
no, I think he played Tetris once.
Yeah.
He did. Yeah, you know, like that. That was like Tetris was the first time he had ever picked up a Nintendo controller, was when they got Tetris and got a version of Tetris in 89 from the Russians. And I remember reading that. I think it was in Game Over, which was by David Sheff. It's a good book. And they actually said that that was like the first time he had picked up a Nintendo controller, was to play Tetris.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we're going to be seeing some. Well, I think the hardcore game is kind of a misleading term. I think we're going to see some good games coming from Nintendo, that because Iwata's at the helm, and he did, I kind of agree with him when he said last year that he came on just as the GameCube came out, and he had nothing to do with it, and he's had everything to do with the Wii, and he's much more hands-on, and he knows what he's doing, he has a plan, I don't know, it's just, they seem to know what they're doing.
Right.
A lot more so than Sony and even Microsoft, who seem to kind of have their left and right hands disagreeing with each other a lot.
Yeah.
You know, they say one thing, another branch is doing something else. Major Nelson from Microsoft is saying one thing, trying to do damage control the best he can because
they've left him out in the cold again.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks for your call, man.
Yeah.
So, Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156. I will take one more call tonight, and then we will be done for the week. And then we'll be seeing stuff at E3. Racing Freak 92 says, if Nintendo was smart, they'd have a Pokemon and a Zelda game out 2 to 3 months after the DS launched. Then they would have completely demolished the PSP. So we do have one last call here, and so I'm going to pick it up. Bobby Black will show you're on the air. Who is this?
Hey, how's it going? Sully from the chat here.
Hey, man, what's on your mind?
Hey, I was just I think it's a little early to be berating the new E3, and we don't really know what we're going to get yet. So, I mean, we can't really sit here and say it's not going to be good if the show hasn't even started.
I agree. I'm basically, the reason I'm going, you know, saying that is because I do know, you know, about all the companies that really don't know what's going on at E3 and got shut out, like, you know, Tecmo getting shut out. They couldn't come. They, you know, because I guess it was an invite process of that. So it's going to be, I mean, it's what E3 needed to do to survive. And it's not going to be the old E3, I do agree. But it's going to just, we're going to have to see at the end of the week if it actually does what it was supposed to in terms
of... Well,
what
I'm thinking is, I'm thinking it'll be less of a spectacle. You know, it's going to be less about the bigs with their high production value videos and more about, you know, the actual information about the games coming out. And in the past, you know, it was always the big trailers that stole the show. And now it might be actual good gameplay that steals the show.
Yeah, and I mean, that this could be one of the best things that happened. I think what a lot of people are saying about, oh, E3 sucks, it's always the people that are kind of on the outside looking in and saying, you know, well, I wanted the big, you know, extravaganza, and, you know, I wanted to go to E3 and see it all, and, you know, now when they hear, oh, it's just a bunch of hotel meeting rooms that are appointment only, that's bad, that sucks, and they just go ahead and write that off. But, you know, as I'm seeing now, the excitement over E3 is still there, you know, because the information's still going to come out. And so, I mean, I'm not writing it off yet. I'm kind of bummed I can't get in, but I'm not writing it off yet. And, you know, the people that are really writing it off are the ones that just wanted to sneak in the first place.
Okay. All right. Take it easy, man.
Thanks. Thanks a bunch. Hyperion actually says, Tecmo's official statement is that there is no point going to E3 if the retailers weren't there. And that's I do remember that now. Like, Best Buy is not going to be sending representatives there. They do their own thing. I think GameStop's not going to be there because they do their own kind of trade. They do their own show. I know GameStop does, and I think it was like in Florida or something last time. And, you know, they send the managers there, and that's when the game companies come to show off the games to that retailer, is at the GameStop show. Or, you know, Best Buy will do something, you know, a retailer event. If the retail, you know, E3 now is really for business and media. And it's, you know, E3 originally, way back when, in 1995, it was supposed to be where the publishers showed the retailers and tried to get the retailers to buy the product and give it more shelf space. They were trying to get the retailers in. And the media was kind of a sideshow. And then over the years, that morphed into the media being the people that were really supposed to be there and the people they really wanted to show it to. And the retailers were kind of, you know, it was harder and harder for the retailers to get in to talk to them because there was so much media. And so now it really is, you know, a media event, the business and media summit. So that's the deal. And that's kind of how E3's morphed. And, you know, if the publishers aren't there, if that's what they want to talk to, they don't want to talk to the press, they want to talk to the publishers, because as much as it's kind of weird how this works, but you, as in, you know, the person who's listening to the show who goes and buys games and plays games, you are not the customer of Tecmo. You are not Tecmo's customer. Tecmo's customer, they sell to Best Buy or Walmart or GameStop, and then you are their customer. So really, that's why people always got confused when they said E3 is where the game publishers talk to their customers. That's not you. That's the people who sell the games to you. Now, granted, that wall's kind of coming down. Now, you know, Microsoft with, you know, the DRM, the transactions, the online downloads, you know, Steam, you are Valve's customer in that sense. But, you know, when you buy a physical, when you go down to GameStop or EB and you buy a Blu-ray game or something, you're not the customer of whoever made that game, you're the customer of GameStop. So that's kind of the disconnect, and, you know, that's probably why Tecmo was like, we'd rather talk to our customers, not the press. So anyway, that's it. That is all that I am going to inflict on you guys this week. Thank you all for being a part of it. We will be back again next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on All Games Radio at allgames.com, so you can catch us live and interact with the show. Feel free to leave a voicemail with us on any topic, or leave a bumper, Bobby Blackwolf Show, on Skype. You can also email me, blackwolf@allgames.com, or you can join our official forums at allgames.com. We have a forum thread in our little sub-forum where you can talk back, and I'll read stuff on the next show. However, this is a tradition we've been doing. We cannot do this without the help of the community, and if you are in the chat room at the end of the show, you get your name read on the air. Chrisville 1724, GK128, The Rob D, Burning Paper Sun, Bird, Doomplague, Fifth Dream, Ichiban, Mako, PokeBlackBoy, Pokemon's Liar, they're Pokemon addicts, Seymour Booty, Stone Raider, The Matrix, THK, Toshin, Wyland, Rage XP, Transique, Spike, AGN, Serotonin Zero, True, Alt, Amaze Satsuma, Big Beaky, Bloodshot, Kenny 876, Cedabria, Crispy, Curtis, Dave 1971, 1998, DJ Dark Knight, Drew Nami, Footy Monster, Havoc 978, He Called a Crap Poop, Hitstun, Hyperion, James Patrick, Joe Kill, Johnny 5, Justin Sane, Mike 2, who's already at E3, bastard, Maximilian, Mike Hunt, Munasha, Mr. Elusive, Moles Rock, New Shiny CD, Racing Freak 92, Ravens Dolphin, Snack, Sub-Z, TDB30, Tedekin, Tiger Claw, Valerno, What Up G, Wilcon, YaX, and Zappy. So once again, thanks for coming in. Thanks to Justin McElroy over at Joysticks Podcast Rodeo for giving us a little bit of love. And I'm off to Santa Monica on Tuesday. See you next week.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed on tonight's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of All Games Productions. This file may be freely distributed provided the original content is unedited and proper attribution is retained. For more information about All Games programming, go to www.allgames.com.